Hello, everyone. I'm Robbie Dorman, and this is the Serophanassist, the podcast for fans of everything. Welcome. Today, I'm joined, once again, by Paige Lavoie to talk about a book about the Christmas Joyride by Melody Carlson. Just over a month late, no big deal. We talk about what the book is trying and not trying to do about the main character of Joy, and how much we adore her, and if we'd read A Christmas Joyride Part 2. The book is silly and cheesy, but also endearing and earnest in the best way. It was a great time talking to Paige about it, as always. On to the discussion! Hello, everyone. I'm here, once again, with Paige Lavoie to talk, to gab about some books. Paige, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
We're talking about, we're a little late. It's fine. It's okay. It's still nice. The Christmas Joyride by Melody Carlson. Nice big cover, cover of a big RV covered in Christmas lights. For your Christmas novel. I didn't picture my Joy does not look like the lady on the cover, though, but that's...
Wait, is there a lady on the cover for you?
A little bit. A little tiny lady in the window of the RV. She's kind of
like... I didn't even notice her.
She's like a little force ghost in there. You know, a little kind of ephemeral, but she's there. She doesn't look... That's not my Joy. Thank you very much. Paige.
Yes.
I think this book gave me diabetes.
Yeah. Go on. Tell me about this new diabetes you currently suffer from.
I don't want to, you cannot judge any piece of art for something that it is not trying to be. First of all, if this is not what this is trying to be, is a sweet Christmas story to... It's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it's a Hallmark movie, basically.
Yeah. It's, hey, you know what? Maybe you want nice, happy sweetness injected directly into your veins. I think that's what this book is going for. It is not trying to be War and Peace.
No.
It's not trying to be The Power, even. It is trying to be like, hey, you know what? Christmas is good. Remember? You remember Christmas?
Hey, do you like Christmas? Here's some Christmas for you.
Yeah. I enjoyed my time with it. I had extraordinarily low expectations, but I think it exceeded them. I expected less and I got more, so I think that's usually a good thing.
Yeah. I feel like it's not that I had high expectations. I didn't. But I expected a little bit more of a journey. Okay. I expected a little bit more because for context, my parents watch all of the Hallmark Christmas movies. It is on a 24/7 loop in their house starting at Thanksgiving. Oof. It is like the only thing on the TV. They've seen, like, to the point where a movie will come on and they'll be like, oh, it's this one. And Hallmark has like their cast of actors that they use in a bunch of different movies. And so there'll be like a female protagonist and my mom will look at my dad and be like, it's our girl. There she is.
Oh no.
It's a thing. Like it is a craze in my parents' house. And so I've seen a lot of these movies. I've seen bits of the movies. So I had an expectation for a little bit more drama, a little bit more, not high stakes, because it's never really like super high stakes.
Conflict.
But conflict. I thought there was going to be a little bit more conflict. I didn't necessarily think that Joy and Miranda would fight, but I thought that there would be some drama on each of the road trip stops. And really, it was just kind of like a calm adventure for the most part until we get to about the middle of the book. But there wasn't really a whole lot of like resistance.
No.
Which like is fine. And I think maybe in a way I was expecting too much. I was expecting a little more conflict than was promised, you know?
Yeah. I expected, I'm not sure. I expected mostly nothing because this is, you know, it's literally called the Christmas Joyride, and one of the main characters is named Joy.
Christmas Joy.
Christmas Joy.
Because
of her blog. 86-year-old Joy who is selling her home. And I think there's an interesting layer of melancholy to all of it, because it was the strange thing to me. I wasn't really expecting that at all. I was expecting almost kind of just pure, like, yeah, I'm a wealthy old lady and we're gonna go do Christmas. But there's also like, I'm selling my house, and because I'm going to live in an assisted living place, and Miranda, is in bankruptcy or her foreclosure, and her husband left her for some younger woman. How old is Miranda?
She's like 30.
I'm like, how much younger?
You're right.
You're not old. you're young still. He could be a jerk and leave you for another lady, but I don't think age. They're making like she's like 50 or something, and like they've been married for 20 years.
I actually had a misconception about her age. And then I read the book blurb where it was like 30-year-old Miranda and 85-year-old Joy, and I went, oh, she's like, it kind of adjusted the picture I was having of her in my head, where I had to keep reminding myself that she was supposed to be like around my age, which mm-hmm. was interesting. Man, her husband sounded like a jerk. I was glad he didn't show up. I was kind of worried that there would be a point where it's like, oh, there he is, or oh, he called and he wants money or something stupid, you know?
Yes. I mean, I think that's, he works better as just this off-screen boogeyman who's just,
yeah, I agree,
like, some bad guy. They're like, oh yep. And there was literally one of the stops it's the diner, it's the lady at the diner whose husband skipped out on her, and they literally have, at the mention of a husband leaving her wife, Miranda growls. Like, literally, it's just Miranda growled. I laughed. I laughed. This book is not terribly subtle, but I'm curious how much of irony I think some of it I was enjoying ironically. I don't know how much of it is intentional. I feel like some of it is. I feel like this book has I think this book is not just solely, hey, you're someone who loves Christmas and probably Jesus too, and here's some of that for you. You know, it's short and easy, and everything works out in the end. But I have to think that there is the other audience, which is someone like me, who's just like, oh man, this is so corny, and you're just laughing at the corniness sometimes. And I think like it leans into it at times.
I think there's got to be, because for the Hallmark movies, for instance, a lot of people watch them for serious, and then a lot of people watch them because they're like, this is some cheesy, mm-hmm. silly, like over the top Christmas romance. Like, they love the tropes, they love how unsubtle everything is, they love kind of the predictability of being able to say she's gonna bump into that guy, or that guy's secretly a prince, or whatever the tropes are.
Christmas prince.
Yep, a Christmas prince. But you know, people, I think it's fun to feel like you're in on the joke or in on the, like, you know what's going on sometimes. I don't know. I almost don't know how much of it was intentional. Like, it, to me, it felt really, really earnest, like very like pure and like like she was doing this for like a message. And I don't know. I think what I kind of wonder is what, I mean, there was definitely a message of giving, but the overarching message of the book kind of got lost on me as soon as they split off and it became just Miranda's adventure, like finding love and romance. I really didn't expect that. I thought it was going to go. Oh. Did you expect it?
Literally. Okay. So there's two things. There's two, like, calling them twists is, I don't think, they're not twists.
The twists.
Twists. They're not twists, but they are, they're turns a little bit. They're turns. And one is Joy falling sick.
Yeah, that I knew would happen.
Absolutely. There's literally, like, early on, I think I highlighted the first time I noticed it. And she's, and it's like, it's Joy's, you know, Joy's narration, kind of. And she's just like, oh, yes, I'm doing fine, except for that one thing. And then it just goes back into Christmas, and then it starts talking again, and she's just like, oh, my, I'm feeling a little bit tired. I shouldn't trouble Miranda with it. And you're like, oh, no, what, Joy, what are you hiding? Joy, you're definitely, you're old. There's something, you're gonna, she didn't die.
No.
She didn't die. I was half expecting her to be, like, a Christmas ghost by the end of this
book. So glad she wasn't.
I was half expecting it. But the second that they said the last stop was a single father who's lost the spirit of Christmas and he has a young daughter, I went, oh no, they're going to hook up. This is going to be she's going to date this fella. They're going to, and of course he's very handsome. And he is, that is the largest moment of conflict is their first meeting when they run in, literally breaks into his house.
Only conflict in the book. And I was like, I say I was surprised by it, where going into the book, I didn't necessarily, I thought that she might meet a man along the way, but I didn't think it was going to break off in the way it did, where it's like you have Joy in the hospital and the rest of the book is Miranda. In a way, it felt a little unfinished. Like, whenever I read the final page, I went, oh, that was it? Okay.
Yeah, I wanted more. I expected it to end. Like, I expect to end with they talk about the Christmas dinner. Like, they have it set for eight people. And I'm like, okay, so the brothers and Joy are going to join them with maybe the neighbors or whatever. And then
I would have loved that.
Yeah, like, and it'd be, like, the happy ending is just, like, everyone eating Christmas dinner together, and the guy opens the present from the daughter, and you go, and you're like, oh, this is nice. But it just ends with them kissing, them smooching.
Yeah, and I thought that didn't honestly, like, and again, I'm judging way too harshly, but since we are in a book club and
it's okay,
we're picking things apart. I thought that's the sort of thing that was missing, like a wrap up, maybe even like a flash forward a couple years where they're visiting Joy and maybe they're like decorating her assisted living facility, something that like just showed them, Miranda and the handsome man who was gruff at first, but surprisingly gentle. Them all together as a family and kind of what their life looks like, see that Joy has found happiness in her new life, like maybe some friends at the assistant. Like I just needed a bow. For me, it was missing that.
You mean missing a Christmas bow?
It was missing a Christmas bow. It needed a little bit of tinsel at the end for me. Just an old box that she had in the garage with some shiny pink ornaments. That's all I wanted at the end. And instead we got a smooch. It was a good smooch. They fell in love very fast, which is also fine. But there was a moment whenever he comes to visit her at the like camper park. And she was just like, in tears, like, I don't want to give my heart away. And I'm like, you guys, this is the second time you haven't even gone on
a date yet. You're not, this is not a, you don't have to commit right now. This is not the, your entire future.
She's just like, I'm scared to let myself fall in love with you. And I'm like, whoa,
I'm starting to think I know why your husband left you, because you might be a little bit clingy. You shouldn't necessarily jump right on people, you know, after you've met them one time, even no matter how handsome they are. It's all tropey. It's fine. It's nothing to do.
Yeah.
I wanted more. I think joy is all the fun in this book to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when she, I think that's really why it's after Joy leaves, you're just kind of like, all right, follow Miranda. I want this little kid to have a good Christmas. That's something.
It would have been super fun if Joy would have been in that part of the book and she would have been like matchmaking. Like, oh no, the RV. I forgot to plug it in.
Like, could you help us with that, handsome stranger?
Yeah.
You need my help. Please. No, I'm in the hospital. I'm dying. I can't do anything. Yeah,
it's all just her acting. She set the whole thing up. Her heart is fine. Her sons know it.
It was very strange to remember, like, oh yeah, her sons are also in their 60s. And they're really, it's really, Miranda is still much younger than them.
That was another thing where once I kind of realized the age difference, because at first I was like, maybe they'll get to Phoenix and she'll fall in love with one of the sons. And then I realized that the sons are both like, and also, how did the sons end up so like corporate? Like, it sounded like they like don't care about Christmas and don't care about anything. And just about me. And like with like her as the mom, were they just like Christmased out? They were like, okay, mom,
we got it. Jeez. We
never will celebrate Christmas again.
Frankly, it might be the case. I mean, you grow up a certain way, you get, I don't know, either you are entirely in on it or you hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they just went the other direction. Maybe they're just tired of Christmas. They're like, we got so much Christmas.
She's just going to like sneak out of the nursing or assisted living place and decorate their houses every year. And they're going to be like, oh my God, mom, please.
Please, you're 90 years old. Your legs, you need, don't climb ladders. They are a plot device. And I think that's, it's fine. Like, and that's what all these people, like, other than Joy and Miranda, everyone else is not really characters. They are ways to kind of demonstrate what Christmas is,
mm-hmm.
and what Christmas is not, and what is important during Christmas. And you know, you have, you know, you and it's, each of them is like a little lesson. You know, we have we go to the trailer park and you have the gruff punk rock lady.
I loved her.
She's great. But I mean, that's don't judge people by their appearances. That's the little lesson there. You know, mm-hmm. you can have people who look strange. We don't even meet the mean lady at that rehab center. She's just a mean lady that is in a meeting. We don't even see her. And she's like, she doesn't like Christmas. And she doesn't like religion.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, let's decorate and make her angry.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of Miranda's attitude of like, well, too bad.
And we don't even meet that's the other thing. I wish we didn't meet that the kid, the 17-year-old kid in rehab. What was he in rehab for? Do we know?
I know. We didn't find out what he was in rehab for. I think it was like hinted that it was addiction, probably. Probably more in like a subtle way, just because I don't feel like the book was going to be like drugs.
He does. He did lots of drugs.
That whole the rehab, that, because it's like they opened up a bunch of stuff. They were like, here's a bunch of characters, here's a bunch of things. And then it was like immediately Joy was in the hospital and we never really saw anything with that again.
I think it was Miranda's like, oh, well, I decorated. It's fine. Joy's dying. We need to go give her aspirin in the hospital. Make sure she's all right. To call her sons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they expect their sons. Oh, she was very worried about that call to a person to say that their mother's in the hospital.
Yeah.
I don't see how Miranda's responsible for Joy. If I was Joy's son, there's literally nothing you could tell me that she's done that I would be surprised by. It feels like Joy has always been that person, and you just go, oh, mom, what have you done this time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's went on a cross-country road trip decorating people with whatever with Christmas, and now she had a heart attack and you're in some place, etc. Like, oh,
again?
Again?
Mom.
Oh, yeah. Joy.
You know, I think there was something that I liked about that phone conversation where Miranda kind of snapped at one of the sons where she was, well, how could you have let this happen? And she's like, well, your mother is a grown woman capable of making decisions. And I really liked that because I feel like you see, whether it's like through grandparents or just people kind of like take that agency away from seniors as they get older, you know? And it's true that like your body changes and like you can't always do the things that you were able to do and you need to adjust to that. But also like Joy is fully capable of making decisions. Was it smart for her to travel with a heart condition? We found that out like much later. So no, probably not. But at the same time, like, it was her choice to do that, and she was still allowed that decision. And so I did like that. I feel like I liked that they were saying they weren't taking that away from Joy. They were still saying she's changing, she's adjusting to changing, but she's still a person. She's still capable of choosing how she wants to live her life. And I enjoyed that message, but I wish that it would have been a little bit more completed,
mm-hmm.
because then it was, okay, well, she's in the hospital and her consequences for taking this road trip have, I said road ship, cruising on down the road. The consequences were like, okay, well, now you've done too much. Like, you've extended your body too much. Now in the hospital. Yeah.
She just loves Christmas that much.
She does. Yeah. So I wanted a little bit more of a message with her, mm-hmm. of her either saying like, you know what, I'm going to make the most of my new life and it will be different, but I can find happiness. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we got that. And so that was kind of a bummer because, oh, go ahead. Sorry. I'm just like, blah, 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 blah.
No, that's Joy. No, it's fine. I mean, I think it's not really Joyce. It's called the Christmas Joyride, and I think it's really supposed to be Miranda's. I think the last bit is supposed to, because this is categorized, quote unquote, as women's fiction. I think that Miranda bit at the end is supposed to be like, I feel like the intent is the reader is supposed to love Joy. And like spending time with her, and we're supposed to be Miranda. We, the reader, are Miranda, and we're supposed to be like, I like spending time with the Joy. I'm Robin. She's Batman. We are going on this Christmas road trip, doing crazy things, and then we're supposed to feel, you know, when Joy gets sick, you know, we're supposed to go, oh no, I'm all by myself now. I'm
totally
all alone.
Get that. I hadn't thought about that before because I was so invested in Joy. For me, that's who the story was about. But mm-hmm. you're totally right. The intention was for it to be like, you're Miranda. What a cool neighbor you have. What a fun Christmas time you are having. Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I don't I do think Miranda's story could be another. You could do one more chapter, two more chapters with Miranda. Like, does she fall in love with this mysterious lone husband, and they find love, and she has a new adopted daughter? Sure, why not? It's nothing more ridiculous than anything else that happens in this book. It's, you know, it's what it is.
So you're saying you want book two? Is what you're saying? You're ready for the sequel? Christmas Joyride 2.
As long as I want joy in it, okay? I need joy has gotten better, and there's a new problem, and joy is also helping. I need joy in the book, okay? Whenever joy dies, I don't want any more joyrides. I don't want any, like, symbolic joyrides, okay?
No symbolic joy, it's only joy.
Yeah, I want real joy. This book is free with Kindle Unlimited, so I would read a sequel that is also free. It is also a pretty short read, and I read fast already, so this thing took me like an hour and a half to read. So a sequel that's the same length, sure, why not? Sure, I don't care.
She's got a lot of Christmas books on here. This could turn into a Christmas podcast.
She does. I was going to say, I was looking at the author. She has written over 200 books, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems a lot of them are Christmas themed, which I am starting to rethink my whole writing career. I'm just going to write Christmas stories from now on. This book's a little Jesus-y.
It is, for sure.
A little Jesus-y. I'm not Jesus-y. It's not a surprise to anyone listening, but it's not as bad as it could be. It could be way worse. I've some relatives of mine will happily tell you how important Jesus is to Christmas. And Joy is, you know, an elderly lady, so I'm not gonna be surprised when she's like, yeah, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I go, oh yeah, okay, Joy. It's the same way I treat my elderly family members when they're like, yeah, Christ and Christmas and Jesus and no happy holidays. I'm like, okay, all right. Yeah, okay, thanks. Let's have some more eggnog. But
I could go for some eggnog. I know it's January, but I could go for eggnog.
It's really
for sure.
It's criminal that they that eggnog literally only exists. You got to make your own eggnog. That's the secret.
Yeah.
You have to let it steep. You have to let it rest. It's the true secret of good eggnog. It has to sit for a while. I'm that serious. I'm when you're making
no,
eggnog.
No, I understand.
I'm not joking.
The response I felt like was like a thoughtful.
It's a lot of work to make eggnog. That's probably why most people don't do it.
I didn't mind the religious undertones of the story. I'm not super religious. Like, I say happy holidays. I'm more of like pretty modern, but you know, like I'm somewhat religious. I will say though, writing wise, it got a little repetitive. Like the first couple of times that it was like cute, like the reason for the season stuff, I was like, oh, that's like kind of a sweet note from Joy's perspective. But then it got a little like, you just taught us this message in the last chapter kind of thing, which like, I understand each chapter was kind of like doing a similar kind of message. But for me, it got like just a little repetitive.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's the part that I bounce off the most, and it's not really any fault. I don't blame the book.
Right.
I don't blame. It's just that's what this book is. That part of the book is specifically not for me. And I think if I was going to write a Christmas novel, I would just make it a modern secular Christmas novel where we just have fun giving each other gifts and taking care of each other and eating lots of food. Gluttony. That's the
where it's like, I want to write a reverse Hallmark novel or Hallmark movie where it's in two people from small towns moving away to the big city where They meet someone who's also in a corporate job, and they have a secular, non-denominational Christmas party, holiday party in Manhattan. And it's like totally the opposite of the Hallmark formula, like completely swapped. And I'm like, I would be here for that. I think that would be fun.
I mean, that's, I guarantee you, if that doesn't exist somewhere, it will. It will.
You just
made it happen just by saying those words.
Put it out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't write the tweet. There's enough retweets on that where at least five people are working on that manuscript.
Yeah, they just saw, they're like, oh, someone wants that? So I can sell that? Okay. I'll write it now.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll do that in this exact moment. But again, I don't blame this book for having, you know, Joy is an 85-year-old lady. She's gonna,
yeah,
expecting anything. Like, I think that book, that's the wise decision is to make her the anchor of the book, mm-hmm, is because whatever, she's very empathetic. It's hard to like hate an old lady who is trying her best and, you know, doing this kind of a remarkable journey. It makes you root for her just because of what she's doing and because she seems so nice. You know, she's so kind. And mm-hmm, even if she does kind of do the mafiosa thing when she's giving away money, she's like, you wouldn't dare refuse me, would you? You wouldn't insult me and give me back and refuse my gift.
Oh my gosh. I wish I had that in my head when I was reading.
That's the first thing. The first thing that popped in my mind when Miranda opens that letter, and it's like, first of all, I know that's a lot of money, but I can afford it. Do not insult me by returning it.
That's good. I love it.
That's what old ladies do, though. That's what, like, they're like, don't, no, I don't. You're like, I don't think I need 50 cookies. What are you gonna return them? I just gave you cookies, and then you're gonna take them back, and you're gonna not even eat them. It feels very like it's just like this passive aggressive kind of like, hey, come
or like
on.
The worst is the, oh, okay. And you're like, oh my gosh, I broke your heart. I'm so sorry. I'll eat all of them.
I'll die for, I can't have sugar, but I'll eat all of them just to please you.
Yeah. I don't really eat red meat anymore. And when I visited my grandparents and my grandma made dinner like every night with like ground beef and hamburger stuff, I ate everything she cooked because I was like, thank you, grandma, for making me food.
Thank you, grandma. Yes, this is,
and it just like her sweet face, and also it was really good. I'm not gonna deny my grandma's cooking is great.
Yeah. The joy of Joy is it's a thing you don't see very often. You don't see a lot of elderly protagonists,
mm-hmm,
and whenever you get one, it's a really interesting perspective. And this is, you know, this her perspective, it's a little rounded, you know, sanded down a little bit. It's a little bit because of what this is. It's a, you know, it's a happy Christmas book, so it's not like, you know, but I think that little bit of kind of melancholy, it persists to the book. And I think it's, you know, I think it's that bit of joy. And I think that's ultimately what makes the book successful, I would say, is the fact, yeah, that it's not just, even though I made the diabetes joke, it is not just that. There is a little bit of joy, like, yeah, her husband's dead and she's selling her house and she's going
to learn. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
She's going to live in an assisted living place, and
she had a really unhappy childhood, we find out. We don't get the details of it, but we do get that it was like a bad situation that she got out of.
Right.
So yeah, a lot of things where it's like, you know, she's really like lived, oops, she's lived a life and it hasn't all been like joyful, but she's still like creating that joy.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to spread it to other people. And yeah, she's just, what a special lady. I wanted to give her a hug.
She's very nice. Joy is very nice. They lived in, I did not picture them living in Chicago. It didn't seem like Chicago to me.
I didn't picture that either. I was picturing them in the suburbs.
Well, that's what I mean. It's probably a suburb of Chicago. When people say Chicago, there could be, you could live in, apparently you can live like an hour away from Chicago and you can still say, yeah, I live in Chicago. And you're like, well, I don't really, I think of a city when I think, I think of big skyscrapers. I do not think of like suburban homes, you know, that's an hour commute away, but that's what people mean sometimes, I guess. But I don't know. The fact that there is kind of that layer of, oh, there's sadness and joy is just still so positive. And like, that's ultimately why I could say, yeah, the book's cheesy and the book is kind of silly and Jesus-y, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't, I like earnestness. I like that. And joy is earnest and joy has had hard times. And she's still positive. She's still like, yeah, we're decorating this RV and we're going to go empty the septic tank in the RV. The very lovely job. I think that's the other thing Miranda is a trooper for all this. This is.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot of, it's not necessarily like driving all day in an RV, not necessarily a lot of fun. Although they act like, yeah, it's like a,
almost make driving in an RV like appealing. We're like, oh, driving all day, that's fine. You're a little tired. You take a nap in the super comfy, luxurious bed. And,
I knew better. I knew better because of what this book is, but the times that they said super comfy, luxurious bed, Joy was really laying it in there. I was half expecting Miranda and Handsome Stranger to end up in the big mysterious comfy bed.
Oh my
in the
god!
RV.
Yeah, I knew that wouldn't happen.
No,
but also, I kind of expected her to come go inside and like sleep on their couch or something instead of being in the RV. Like I figured there would be some sort of thing where like the heater wasn't working.
That would that's a scandal. You can, a woman, unmarried woman slept in another person's house.
That's, my gosh, that's too far. She probably thought about it and she was just like, no,
I can't risk my heart again. I can't risk my heart. Well, my husband left me. I'm hurt. I think that's the other thing.
Go ahead.
Well, finish your thought.
Oh, no, I was going to say he made like a really good breakfast.
Yeah.
Pancakes. He had like pancakes and eggs and like bacon and like, I was just like, oh, he cooks too.
Yeah. Perfect. His only mistake was missing his wife too much. That's really, honestly, that is his only flaw, which is... Yeah. His only flaw is like, yeah, I couldn't bear Christmas anymore because it was such a special time with my wife and she died a day before Christmas or something. And
yeah,
it's like Gremlins all over. You ever seen Gremlins, Paige?
You know, I've only seen parts of Gremlins, so the joke is lost on
me, unfortunately. Gremlins is a Christmas movie?
I forgot. Yeah.
Well, it's not... If you see the whole thing, you can't forget because... It includes a scene where the female lead talks about her father dressing up like Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I believe, falling off the roof and dying.
Oh.
And
oh my God.
And as dressed as Santa Claus, and therefore she doesn't celebrate Christmas anymore. And then by killing gremlins, she finds her Christmas spirit again. I don't remember. It doesn't. Gremlins is a silly movie. It's not supposed to be. It's less silly than 2. Gremlins 2 is a complete joke. Gremlins 1 is earnest. Like, it's actually trying to be a horror movie. Emily, Gremlins 2 is like a comedy. Gremlins is a good movie. I would say even Gremlins 2 is a good movie, actually. There's different ones. One's a horror movie and the one's a comedy. It's very strange dichotomy there. Why am I talking about Gremlins? I forget why I started talking about
Gremlins.
Oh, it's because the
book
dude
was
lost.
Just like Gremlins.
It's really not like Gremlins at all. This dude lost his wife during Christmas. That's why.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's his only His only flaw is I just miss my dead wife so much. And I, you know, that's not, I'm grumpy because I'm sad. And that's
and
easy.
Also you're a stranger in my house and yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah, you're taking care, you're like, that's my daughter. She's all I have
Who
left.
Are you?
And you're just,
plus she was so beautiful. She was just taken off guard in her green velour hoodie with sparkles.
That's the first thing I think when I see someone dressed like that. I go, so beautiful. I'm just taken aback. I'm struck.
But it made her hair and her eyes even brighter. I was. That's when I knew. As soon as she put that hoodie on, I'm like, oh, you're going to fall in love today. Today's the day.
People are really going to steal a duffel bag full of clothes from an RV.
Right? And it's like the whole RV was clean. They just took the duffel bag. That was it. Yeah.
I wouldn't target the Christmas decorated RV if I'm a thief.
No. Then you're a thief and really mean.
I would
but
think,
maybe they thought that there were gifts in there.
I guess there are those kind of miscreants who have that no conscience whatsoever, but I can't imagine. There's still people. You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to go target the Christmas RV. Like, really? Really? You have no conscience? You're going to steal from the Christmas RV? Look at it. It's all shiny.
Come on.
I do want some of those. Like, I would like some of those vintage Christmas decorations.
I know. Me too.
Those ugly, ugly things.
Whenever she was talking about the pink ones, I was like, can I have them? Like, is that, please?
Can I have the ugly, those ugly things that are made?
Yeah, the ones that they were like, oh, these are hideous. I said to myself, that sounds great.
I want the ugliest. Give me the ugliest Christmas decorations. I mean, I think they're coming back. I think they're.
Oh, yeah.
People have
for
realized.
Sure.
People have realized that there are people our age who want to have the feeling of, you know, like the Christmas story and that time period where Christmas decorations, that's all they could make were ugly ones. I guess they just did not have the technology to make good looking things. And you're just like, yeah, I want that. I want that. I want to make it feel like I can only buy the worst looking ornaments. They're made and they fall apart if I touch them. They break immediately.
They have fake popcorn on strings. And I'm like, next year, I'm going to do it.
We did not put up a tree this year. Because
you moved.
We did move. Well, I mean, it's not. We left we came to Florida for a week, and the tree probably would be destroyed by the time we get back because of the cats. So, it would be putting up a tree, decorating it, and then just taking it down before we left because it would be destroyed, probably, or at least all the ornaments would be knocked off, and probably some plastic needles would be eaten by cats. And that's not good. There's already enough of a mess coming back. I don't need the cats to also have to be throwing up plastic.
Oh, God.
Plastic Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Here is some throw up of plastic Christmas trees. This is fun. This is a fun book.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah. It's not. I don't think anyone picking this up expects anything but what it is. And I think that's fine. I think. The fact that this, what did they say? She has sold over, like, ever, what did they, I'm trying to find, there's a blurb of this.
I have her Amazon page up.
Sales around 6.5 million books of 200, she's written 200, over, more than 200.
Oh my gosh.
Sales of 6.5 million, there's obviously a market for it. Obviously people want it.
And she knows her market and her audience, too. You can tell. Like, I think she hit all of, like, the beats that people would probably be expecting if they're into this sort of book.
Right.
And, yeah, it was cute.
I am definitely not I just was looking at the reviews on Amazon, and it's like, 5 stars from a middle-aged man? Question mark?
Yeah, and we're not the target audience for this, for sure. There were times I thought it was, I think, a little boring. I wanted something to give at points in time. But, I mean, you're not reading this book for the drama.
I was kind of in a place where I had been reading my own books, mm-hmm. editing my own book, which was not pleasant. It's not pleasant revising your own work anyway. And then not pleasant because of how I write, because of the story content. And then I oftentimes for my pleasure reading, I will read other horror stuff or other heavy things. Having this, I've been looking for stuff to like just have light, easy reading. Just it is popcorn on your Christmas tree. It is it is that, and that is fine. I think it knows what it is, and I think next Christmas page, we have to keep this in mind.
Yeah,
there is the Christmas dog and the Christmas cat.
I know. I saw that afterwards and I went, I made the wrong decision.
I mean, this is, I don't know. I like Joy a lot.
I know, I do too.
Joy is great. Joy is great and Joy is worth the book. You know, if anything else, getting time with Joy, the 85-year-old Christmas blogger who doesn't know the internet, but it's like, yeah, my neighbor puts up pictures on there. I don't know what I'm doing. Who cares? Then I run contests for people and half the people don't want, they don't even know they're in the contest. I just show up and I throw Christmas at them and they go, oh, okay, you're 85. I will let you do things for me because you're nice.
Yeah, you're nice and cute.
You're nice and little lady and you're wearing a velour jumpsuit
mm-hmm.
with Christmas sparkles all on it. Do you think they have those in men's sizes?
I think they do. I think you're in luck.
Okay, good. Next, that's my next Christmas.
Next Christmas, it's like a video version of the podcast, and we're both in velour tracksuits. Like, hello.
Hello. This is our annual reading of the Christmas Joyride.
Welcome back. Here's what we got out of it this time.
It's the McElroy brothers with the worst podcast ever, guys. They watch Paul Blart Mall Cop every Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh.
And do a podcast every Thanksgiving. I think they've done it 3 years now. So they have, they've it's like that, but pleasant. is it the worst idea ever? I forget what those guys, it's two guys from New Zealand and they watched, they've done it twice now. They did two podcasts where they, what movie was it the first time? I know the second time they did Sex and the City 2. They watched it every day for a year.
That's every day for a year?
I think.
Sorry, it took me a minute to process what you just said.
I think it's every day, or is it every week? Whatever it is, it's a lot of it.
That is a lot.
And that movie's 2.5 hours long, and it's not very good. And I don't know. That's Guy Montgomery and... what's the other fellow's name? I forget. They're both from New Zealand. They have very pleasant, fun New Zealand accents. But that is besides.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
You listen to that podcast, it makes it very clear. It is a terrible idea. It's the worst idea of all time. That is what it is called. The worst idea of all time. Now I need to. They have 4 seasons of this? What are they? They kept going?
Just every day for 4 years. This is their life now. It's a lifestyle choice.
It is weekly. The first season was Grown Ups 2. Then they did Sex and the City 2. This is once a week.
Oh, okay, okay.
It is not. Now they're doing... they did a season... okay, I'm going to have to investigate because I need to catch up because I haven't listened to any of their pain podcasts in a while. Paincasts, that's what it is. This Christmas cat is...
oh my God.
I need this Christmas cat in my life. This is a very beautiful cat, big furry Maine Coon. We'll have to do both the Christmas dog and the Christmas cat.
Yes.
Compare and contrast. I don't know. If you're on Kindle Unlimited, hey, it's free. The price of free is an easy sell. Free. It's apparently cost $9.59 to buy. I don't know if I would do $9.59.
Yeah.
That might be a little. I imagine that. I don't know. If you like Christmas books, this is probably just an easy sell for you because you're jonesing. There's probably people who only read Christmas books.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, I would agree. I would say if you like Christmas books, if you're missing Christmas, if right now it's January and you're like, man, wish I had some Christmas. It's a cute book. Joy is great.
Yeah. That's really it. Joy is great. Read it for joy.
Yeah.
And joy.
Read it for joy and joy.
Joy and joy. Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Paige?
I don't think so. No, I think we covered most of it. Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun. I'm glad that we read it.
Next time, we have another. It's a 180 again. We are vast differences in the content of the books, which is fine. That's good. We are reading Melmoth. I assume it's Melmoth, not Melmoth, because it's. I believe she's British. So. Melmoth, a novel by Sarah Perry, some gothic romance horror thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Sarah Perry. We'll be talking about that next time. You can read along with us, even. Hey.
What?
Wink, 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 nudge, nudge. Hey, guys out there, you can read this book with us if you want.
Yeah. Send us GIF tweet reactions.
Wait.
Whoa, too much. No, wait,
no,
don't do
no,
it.
No. What did you just say? You said the word GIF?
Oh, I do say GIF. Yeah. I know. GIF. What? Send us GIF tweet reactions.
Thank you. I couldn't. My own wife says GIF. I can't even. What is it's a GIF.
Matt says, he says GIF, and I say GIF. So, you know, it's same.
It's women that's the problem. That's. Clearly. Let's go read The Power again. Yeah, we'll be reading Melmoth by Sarah Perry next time. You guys can read along with us if you like. Or you don't have to get the book spoiled for you. Paige, plug your stuff. Where can they find your novels and all your other things you do?
Oh, man. You can find all the books on Amazon if you type in my name, Paige Lavoie. I have February 1st and February 14th, I've written two cute romance stories that will be coming out in some anthologies, also linked on my Amazon. And yeah, most of my internet stuff is under my name, so come say hello.
I'll have links to everything in the show notes if you want to go there and click on stuff. Buy books from Paige. You should do that. You should support artists. It's important. We'll do it. Paige. Thank you for joining me.
Ah, thanks for having me. Yeah, Christmas.
Yay, Christmas. Thanks again to Paige for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at Robbie Dorman and the show's website, theserophanacist.com. You can follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/serophanacist. If you'd like the show, please give it a 5-star review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it, or whatever you listen to us on. Whatever app you use, subscribe, tell your friends. Word of mouth really helps. I greatly appreciate it. Until next time, thanks for being a fan.